Chapter 22. A Biting Commentary. In a recent and disturbing incident in the Lookout Mountain, Tennessee community, Murray the Golden Retriever attacked a woman who was walking past his house. He inflicted 3 bite wounds, 1 each on her leg, side, and buttocks. The victim, understandably, was at first terrified, then angry. In the brouhaha that followed, residents polarized into Kill Murray and Save Murray camps. Emotions ran high, and the judge's decision to release Murray to a training program for drug-sniffing dogs was not a popular one with those who felt that a dog who has inflicted a serious bite is too much of a threat to be allowed to live under any circumstances. Murray was not a bad dog. He didn't deserve to die. Certainly, it would have been sheer folly to return Murray to the circumstances in which he had been previously kept, to risk a repeat incident that could easily be more serious the next time. However, before inflicting a death sentence on a dog, it is important to understand dog behavior and to determine whether the risk of a future bite can be reasonably mitigated. Too much stress equals possible biting. Remember, all dogs can bite. And under the right set of circumstances, the gentlest, most loving dog can be induced to bite. A dog's teeth are important tools, and every dog is aware of their potential use as offensive or defensive weapons. Indeed, it is a miracle that people aren't bitten more often. I choose not to call dogs who bite aggressive dogs, but rather dogs with aggressive behaviors. Even more important, every dog has a bite threshold. That is, a point beyond which, if pushed, he will bite. Some dogs' bite thresholds are low. Some are high. Aggression is caused by stress. Each thing, stimulus, that causes a dog's stress is a small building block, stressor, toward that dog's bite threshold. The lower a particular dog's bite threshold is, and the more things that cause that dog's stress, the more likely that dog is to bite. This is why Buddy the Beagle, who is normally great with kids, one day turned around and bit Johnny in the face. Enough building blocks combined at that moment to push Buddy past his bite threshold. Let's take a closer look at Buddy's stressors and figure out why Johnny was bitten. Buddy's stressors are small children under age 4. Johnny is 7 years old. Thunder. Men with beards. Moderate to severe pain. On the day Johnny was bitten, his cousins were visiting. His cousin's family includes 11-month-old Sean, 2-year-old Joey, and 3-year-old Brittany. The cousins have visited before, and there has never been a problem. However, since their last visit, Uncle Jack has grown a beard. Plus, there was a thunderstorm rumbling through the valley. In fact, it had been storming for 3 days straight. Finally, Buddy had a rotten tooth that his family was unaware of that was causing him a moderate amount of pain. Buddy's bite threshold is fairly high, as is typical of beagles. However, every single one of his building blocks were stacked together in that moment, and he just couldn't handle it. When Johnny went to retrieve little Sean, who was crawling toward Buddy's bone, he bumped the side of Buddy's face and hit the rotten tooth. Seemingly out of nowhere, apparently without provocation, as so many bite reports claim, Buddy snapped, catching Johnny in the face as he bent down to lift Sean. In the aftermath, Buddy is banished to the backyard while the family ponders his fate. If Buddy is lucky, the family will find a competent positive trainer or behavior consultant, one who does not use physical punishment, who will help them identify Buddy's stressors guide them through a desensitization program so he is less stressed by the stimuli that currently upset him, to minimize the possibility of stressors pushing him past his bite threshold again, and help them figure out how to observe and manage his behavior so he is not compelled to bite if his stressors are building up. If he is not lucky, he is facing an unnecessary and tragic one-way trip to the vet hospital or animal shelter, and an appointment with the euthanasia needle. Unnecessary and tragic because in Buddy's case, if it weren't for the rotten tooth, chances are he would never have bitten, even in the presence of several of his stressors. The longer a dog's list of stressors, the more likely he is to eventually bite someone. This is why early and ongoing socialization is so critically important. In fact, thorough socialization may be the single best thing you can do to ensure that your dog has a long and happy life. Dogs who bite tend to meet untimely ends. Classifications of aggression. There are a dozen or more commonly recognized classifications of aggression, including status-related aggression, fear-related aggression, maternal aggression, a mom protecting her puppies, play aggression, when a dog's level of arousal escalates during play and turns into aggression, displaced aggression, pain aggression, territorial aggression, possession aggression, protection aggression, barrier aggression, and redirected aggression. In each category, an underlying stressor is responsible for the dog's aggressive response. For example, in a case of status-related aggression, a higher-ranking dog could be stressed by what he feels is an inappropriate response by a lower-ranking dog. Remember that rank is fluid. A dog may be stressed by the presence of a stranger, intruder, on his property, territorial aggression, because he thinks you're about to take away his bone, possession aggression. Or in the case of a mother dog, because she thinks someone is threatening her puppies, maternal aggression. Most dogs who display aggressive behavior fall into more than one of these categories. Chances are good that Murray's bites were a result of a combination of barrier aggression and pain aggression. Dogs who are kept on chains and behind wire or electronic underground fences are constantly visually stimulated into a state of arousal whenever someone or something, a person, another dog, a cat or squirrel, the mail carrier, a child on a skateboard or bicycle, a car passes by. They see an intruder, they bark, and the intruder leaves. What may have initially been friendly barking increases in intensity, and dogs bark more aggressively as they realize that they have the power to make intruders leave. The intruder was going to leave anyway, but the dog does not know that. He thinks he made it happen. The aggressive behavior is reinforced day after day with each success, and the aggression escalates. Now, add the electric shock collar that is part and parcel of the underground pet fence. When the dog pushes the boundary limits of the fence, he gets shocked in the neck. Now, he associates the pain of the shock with the passers-by, and he's really aroused. Not only are they intruding, requiring him to keep chasing them off, but now, they're fighting back and hurting him. When he does finally burst through the fence or snap his chain, woe to the unlucky person who happens to be passing by at that moment. It's no wonder that tying a dog up is one of the most effective ways of making him aggressive, and that electronic shock fences have been associated with numerous cases of barrier and pain-induced aggression. California is one of several states that have passed laws limiting the circumstances under which dogs can be chained or tethered. Such laws recognize that tethering or chaining dogs is cruel and fosters aggression. Classifications of bites. Dr. Ian Dunbar, a well-known veterinarian, dog trainer, and behaviorist, has developed a 6-level system of classifying bites. Level 1 bite. Harassment, but no skin contact. This is the so-called snap. Don't kid yourself. A snap is a bite from a dog with high bite inhibition. It is a lovely warning signal, telling us we need to identify the dog's stressors and either desensitize him or manage his behavior to avoid exposing him to the things that cause him undue stress. Level 2 bite. Tooth contact on skin, but no puncture. Again, this is a bite from a dog with high bite inhibition and a warning that the dog is serious. It's a very good idea to remove the dog's stressors at this point, before he graduates to the next level. Level 3 bite. Skin punctures, 1 to 4 holes from a single bite. All punctures shallower than the length of the canine tooth. Level 4 bite. 1 to 4 holes, deep black bruising with punctures deeper than the length of the canine, which means the dog bit and clamped down, or slashes in both directions from the puncture. The dog bit and shook his head. Level 5 bite, multiple bite attack with deep punctures or multiple attack incident. Level 6 bite, killed victim and or consumed flesh. With few exceptions, dogs who inflict level 6 bites are, and should be, euthanized. Level 5 bites are also a huge risk to human safety and should probably be euthanized unless there are compelling mitigating circumstances. For example, the dog was being tortured or the victim was a rapist attacking the dog's owner. Level 3 and 4 dogs need serious behavior modification in conjunction with immediate and significant changes in management and environment to remove any present risk. The behavior of level 1 and 2 biters can and should usually be modified with relative ease and the guidance of a behavior consultant without making major environmental changes. All dogs can bite. Many who do are wonderful and well-loved companions the vast majority of the time. When a dog bites, it's usually due to the failure of his human to be observant and recognize the dog's signs of stress, to properly manage and modify behavior to shorten a dog's stressor list, and to control the environment to protect a dog from his stressors. Rarely is killing the dog the best or only solution to a biting dog challenge. Compassion for the victims, human and non-human. Knowledge and understanding of human and animal behavior, and a willingness to explore and pursue realistic and safe alternatives can map the path to a positive, appropriate, and life-affirming resolution for all concerned. Murray got lucky. The Save Murray camp had him evaluated by a behavior consultant, me, and we determined that he was basically a sound, friendly dog who had been placed in an untenable situation. One of his supporters contacted a state law enforcement agency, whose staff leapt at the chance to work with Murray to see if he would be a likely drug-sniffing dog candidate. As a backup plan, supporters also got a commitment from Golden Retriever Rescue to take Murray and place him in an appropriate environment should he fail drug-sniffing school. Thanks to people who understood dog behavior and were willing to advocate for the dog, the judge sided with the Save Murray folks, and Murray was given a second chance to lead a long and productive life.